Hello, ladies and gentlemen and non-binary people and everybody else. And chimneys. I like chimneys. Welcome to the Inner Winner Show. I'm Andy, day 12. Mm-hmm. Kicking along. You got to stop saying mm-hmm because you ruined the surprise. Now everyone knows I have a guest. I have a guest in case you couldn't tell.
Hi.
Oh, see, I'm Imogen.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hi. Again.
What are you up to? Making bank. Getting rich. Making money. Why don't you tell the lovely boys and girls and non-binary people what you got up to today?
What I got up to today?
With your artwork and your money.
Well, I got one of my first larger clients.
Large as in financially large, not like a big person.
I mean, they are actually a big person as
well. As a fatty.
They're really
big. You're working for fatties. Why are you working for fatties?
That's not nice.
Yeah, so you got a fatty who gave you a fat wad of cash to do a piece of art.
Yeah, I'm doing a portrait of them for their anniversary. So, that's
them.
Nice.
Why are you saying them? It's a man.
I mean, it's a couple.
Okay. It's a couple of men.
No, it's a heterosexual couple and it's their anniversary.
Okay, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's really nice. Nice. Yeah, so if anyone wants, we're going to do a massive spam. If anyone wants Imogen to draw something for you, hit her up. I'll leave a link in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we are answering a question from a guy called Siamese Dream.
I like that name. I really like that name.
And he asked a bunch of questions. I put the call out. I'll keep putting the call out. If any of you guys have questions or topics you want us to cover, you know, all you got to do is ask. This guy went to town with questions. He's asked like 6 or 7 million questions. No exaggeration. Legitimately 6 or 7 million. We will rip through them because you got to go to bed because it's past your bedtime. I'm putting you to bed. The first question he says is, I would definitely like to hear you guys talk about the age gap, as in he doesn't just mean the age gap between us, but just in general with people dating, and what you call mentoring in relation to it. That's not really a question. Is there an element of more of a father-daughter dynamic?
Yes.
Which means that you can't mentor women of your age. So, yes, with us in particular, there is, for sure.
Absolutely. I think that was one of the first things that we had talked about on Tinder.
That you had fucking daddy issues.
And, I mean, that's probably come out quite a lot in our relationship in terms of a lot of, I guess, I don't want to call it baggage, but baggage that I had from my dad.
Yeah, because your dad's a cunt.
He probably did some questionable things.
Yeah, he's a cunt.
I mean, yeah. and I think, yeah, you've definitely taken the role of being that mentoring figure over the last couple of years since I've met you. But I think as we've discussed, that's the age gap's definitely played a big part in that for us. But it's not necessarily just the age that does it, but more so the lived experience that you've had.
Yeah, for sure. Like you could be an extremely mature, 20-something-year-old guy dating a 23-year-old woman, and you could teach her a hell of a lot about the world.
Mm-hmm.
As for his question of which means you can't mentor women of your age, yeah, of course you can. But it's just probably not that likely. Because I've dated a lot of 30-something-year-old women and they generally have their shit together more than an 18-year-old. You were 18 when we met. And most of the girls that we date are 18 to 23, maybe. I don't tend to date women over the age of 25. I mean, I will if I meet someone. It's just not really who I'm targeting. Maybe targeting is a horrible word. Going after, talking to, hitting on, saying hello to.
Screening for.
Yeah. I specifically like that mentoring relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I always have. I'm not sure. Siamese Dream. I'm not sure. Man, I wish you'd used your real name. I can't keep calling you Siamese Dream. I'm going to call you SD.
It sounds very poetic, SD though.
Fine.
But yes, it doesn't sound like a normal
Mr. Dream. If you want a mentoring relationship, it's not clear from your questions if you're saying you want this or you're just curious about our relationship and the kinds of relationships I have. All these questions that I read out, I try and give you guys, or we try and give you guys advice. I don't want to just sit here and talk about my relationship. It's in aspect to what you want and your goals and all that kind of shit. if you want a mentoring relationship, you will find it a million times easier with younger girls, and you will also find it easier the older you get. Like, by the time I'm 40, this is going to be way easier. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're just talking, like, obviously, there's exceptions to every rule, but I think, like, statistically, if you plucked any 33-year-old and 18-year-old, it's likely that the 33-year-old is going to have something to give or share mm-hmm. or teach the 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't, not even in a romantic relationship, but, like, even in, like, any workplace, for example, like, when I was interning at my firm, and maybe that's different because I wasn't intern, but, like, everyone there was a lot older than me.
Mm-hmm.
They were very established in the industry, and it was natural that they were going to teach me things.
Yeah, you get this in, like, mentoring relationships at work and in business and, you know, that sort of stuff. Older, the older you are, the more life experience you have. I don't think we need to harp on about that. That's, like, common fucking sense. So, to answer your question, yes, you can mentor women around your age. It's just probably not going to happen because most people your age, most women your age kind of have figured most things out and they're not necessarily seeking an older person who can teach them about the world. They've kind of already at that point established their own viewpoint of the world. They have their own life philosophy. There probably would be a lot of things that I could teach a 30-year-old. It's just, is she going to listen to me? Like, she already has her own preconceived notions by that point. She's not open-minded. I talked about this in the YouTube video I made called 17 Reasons to Date Younger Women. And essentially one of the points I said was younger women are just more open-minded. They haven't been set in their ways.
Yeah, I think there is that notion that, like, if someone's a similar age to you or around the same point in your life, you tend to view them more as a peer.
Yes. And so, you're not going to listen to... It's going to sound more patronizing if I start trying to mentor a 30-year-old. And to be fair, like, I have. I give advice, but we'll go into this in a second. I don't just start giving random bits of advice. I don't just, like, start saying, hey, listen, I'm going to... Because a few of this guy's questions that are coming up is... He's asking questions about, like, are you, like, how do you stop being controlling? Like, how do you not force her to change? Like, I'm not. Like, at no point would I ever control someone or force them. Like, I'm a libertarian at heart. I care about other people doing what they want to do. I'm not here to tell anyone what to do. And every bit of mentorship I give is, I can tell the person wants it because they will specifically ask me. I only give advice when someone literally says, like, when a girl literally says, oh, I want to lose weight. Like, that's what you said to me.
Yeah. Maybe not even that direct, but I think it's a case of, like, if they're, like, dropping hints and kind of putting it out there and it's like...
If they keep going on about, yeah, like, I really wish I had a better job.
Yeah, or I'm not that happy with this, or yes. I wish I could this and that. Then it's like, that's when you can kind of offer that suggestion. Because, yeah, it's definitely not coming out of... It's not as if, you know, we were just seeing one up and all of a sudden you're like, have you ever thought about losing weight? Like, that's not... Yeah.
My philosophy is most people are probably not going to change. Like, most people aren't into self-improvement. It's very easy to be in this bubble if you're listening to my podcast, reading my website, going on other self-improvement forums and that kind of shit. You're in a bubble of self-improvement. You just assume that everybody else in the world wants to improve. That is not the case. Like, absolutely not even remotely the case. And most girls that I date don't want to improve until I show them that self-improvement is possible and they see what I'm doing. And even then, it's only like... Half of the girls will be inspired by that. The other half will just be like, oh, it's cool that you're going to the gym.
Yeah, I will raise the point that when people, on the topic of like dropping hints and things like that, I think that for some people that is kind of, it's kind of seeping out that they would like to change something in their lives. But I think for a lot of the case, it's people just wanting to have a whinge, to have a
yes.
whinge.
Yes, so and I have lived long enough and been... Had my efforts not come to fruition enough times with trying to help other people and they just don't listen to the advice after I give it 100 times. I've learned that you can't save everybody. It's not my job to save everybody. I've tried with probably thousands of people at this point because I've always wanted to help other people like my whole life. And I've had 10,000 or 1,000 people say to me like, hey, I really want to lose weight or I really want to get this job promotion or I really want this. And I will give them like, I will pour my heart and soul into them changing and they just won't do anything with it. So I wait until someone has said something to me several times. Like maybe a girl hints like on 3 different occasions that she's not happy at her job. And I also wait until they make it clear that they want help. So if they're just like whinging, I just kind of go like, oh, she's just complaining. Like, but if it's clear that like, no, they're deeply unhappy and they would like to fix it. That's when I would then start offering like little nuggets of wisdom of like, you know, have you fixed up your resume? Have you tried Googling and seeing what else is available? Have you taken those first steps to fixing this? And Like in your case, you had mentioned your weight a few times that you wanted to lose some weight and get fitter and thinner and all that kind of shit. And you specifically were lying on the couch one day and you looked me in the eyes and you said, help me lose weight. Like you specifically fucking said. And I said, like, I will help you, but only if you are serious. You need to like absolutely tell me because I'm not going to get, because we'd only seen each other for a couple of months at that point.
Less than that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to fucking invest in some like random, you know, because you were just like a casual friends with benefits at that point. I was thinking like, I'm not going to fucking help you lose weight. Like, but you looked me in the eyes and you were dead serious. And you were like, no, I will lose this weight. And I was like, okay, well, if you're serious, I can give you some tips and I can help you. And we went from there. So his next question is, how do you do it overtly without being controlling?
Again, I think once the other person is kind of putting it out there that's something that they want to, it automatically stops it from being controlling. Because if they want it too, it's not one person domineering the other person. It's you kind of trying to work on something together.
Yes.
It stops it. Because, like I said, I think it only becomes controlling when one person doesn't want it.
Yeah. And I think, like, these are good questions, man. Like, I'm really glad you're asking these questions, Mr. Dream. I can't keep calling him Mr. Dream.
Mr. D.
Oh, fuck. Mr. D, Mr. Big D. These are good questions. These are great questions. Because I can see how if you looked at my website and you see that I'm like dominant in bed, for instance, and that I give advice on the internet, it would be very easy to miss some of the subtleties that I put in there. Like I make it very clear that this is all an experiment and I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what worked for me. And it's now your job to go out there and try some of the advice on my website. See if it works for you. If it doesn't, awesome. Try something else. If you figure out something that works better than what I've said, like, awesome. Congratulations. That's great. Like, I'm really happy for you. Mm. I'm not telling anyone what to do. I have never told anyone what to do. Mm. I make that abundantly clear. As I've said, I'm literally a libertarian. My core principle is don't fucking tell other people what to do. Don't make people do something you want them to do. Like, that's very much like I would die for that principle. Mm. Even in high school, I've told you this story a million times. Like there was this kid that used to get bullied all the time, like all the fucking time. Mm. I was his only fucking friend because I was like, I don't like this motherfucker getting fucked with. I don't like people forcing him to do shit and beating him up and that. So I like risk getting my ass kicked. And I did get my ass kicked a couple of times because I don't like seeing people get controlled or told what to do or bullied or any of that shit. So I'm not at any point, and I have never at any point told anyone what to do. Okay, I shouldn't say ever. There was that period where I was being a fucking asshole when I was first into the red pill, and I thought like, oh, you got to tell girls what to do and be an asshole. But like, I quickly grew out of that because that's not a fucking good way to be, and that didn't make me fucking feel good. That felt like I was going against my core principles, and I felt like my soul was fucking being ripped out of my body. So definitely don't do the red pill shit because that won't make you happy. I've written about that a ton. Mm. Yeah. So all of this is like a girl will drop hints or another person will drop hints and then you just kind of decide whether or not you want to help them. Like I'll make it clear. You don't have to mentor people. Like I don't mentor everyone that we date, do I? Like how many girls have I mentored that we've dated? Like one?
Together. Maybe, yeah, one.
Maybe one and a half, maybe two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of how many girls now is it like 13 or some shit?
Something like that. And obviously, that's dependent on like seeing them quite a few times before you kind of get to that point. But
all the girls that I've dated by myself, like before you and during you, like in the early days, it was like one in 20 I would even bother mentoring. Like if they ask me for advice, I'll always give advice. And I give little nuggets of mentorship. Like if we're in bed, like after sex or something, you know, I will have those kind of like fatherly conversations, so to speak, where I would tell her about the world and the way things are and all that kind of shit. But like, yeah, it's like, it's more often than not, I won't, because you don't just like start mentoring people. That is controlling. And maybe you get conflated because I seem like a dominant person through some of the sex that I have, but at no point am I controlling in the sex. And maybe that's a weird distinction to make. Like, you wouldn't understand that distinction until you've had a lot of BDSM sex. But I don't control girls. I dominate them when they want that. And there's a huge fucking difference.
Yeah, I think controlling has connotations of it being
like non-consensual, like she doesn't want to be controlled and you're forcing.
Yeah, it's very, very negative. Like, I don't know, my reaction to that is very visceral. It's very negative, like against your will sort of like kidnapping type situation.
Yeah. Whereas if I literally say to a girl, like, are you into being submissive? Do you like being dominated? And she says, yes. And then I say, like, cool, bend over. That's not controlling. That's like literally playing out a fantasy that she wants. And the second a girl says, like, no, I'm not into that, like, why would I keep going? That's no longer fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her to do something she doesn't deep down want to do and tell me that she wants to do it.
Mm.
Next question is, he goes on to say, Mr. D goes on to say, how do you decide that a girl is moldable into your standards or that you can't make her change? You have to kind of already see the hint of things there. Like, it's more like you're looking for an unpolished gem and it's up to you to polish her into a diamond. So she already has to have the qualities that you're looking for, whatever they may be. Like in my case, it's things like loyalty, self-awareness, intelligence, affection, stuff like that. Mm. Like you already had all those qualities.
Mm.
And then it's like, it's up to you to polish them and nurture them and help it grow. It's like, she already has to be a seed that already has those qualities and you're just like watering that seed, so to speak. So when he says, like, he goes on to then say, like, how do you know when you can't make her change? It's like, that's pretty apparent early on. Like, you get better at this stuff with practice. Like, I'm very good now at screening. We call this screening, where you're like filtering out or screening out the girls that don't really fit with what you're looking for. I'm like an expert at this shit now. But at the start, you will make a million mistakes. Maybe you'll try and help some girls that you can't probably help or that just aren't a good fit for you. You'll make a million mistakes. Just try and be empathetic and nice when you do it, like, and understand that maybe you're going to break a couple of hearts. Maybe you're going to have your heart broken. Like, that's kind of the dating, the normal dating scene, and just do your best to like minimize that.
Yeah. I think there's been cases, and you've even kind of mentioned it to me with, like, I guess people in your personal life or work that you've mentioned, like they actually put out signals that looks as if they want to be helped. You offer this advice, but then, like, very quickly, whether it's a couple of days or a week later, they give up and you're like, you ask about it and they don't really care. Like, it's pretty obvious to tell when somebody doesn't have much conviction with what they say.
So let's answer his actual question. Let's properly answer it. How do you decide that a girl is moldable, so to speak, into your standards? I have a problem with the word moldable, but I get what you're hinting at, but I don't like the word moldable because it implies like that I've done something that she wasn't already going to do. Whereas it's more like, because what do I say to you all the time? I say, you tell me what you want and I will help you do that. Mm-hmm. I never say like, I want you to start drawing art, or I want you to go and do this internship, or I want you to lose weight, or I want you to do X, Y, Z. You come to me and say, I would like to do art full time. I would like to start my own art business. Is that even possible? I don't think it's possible. And then I say, like, all right, if that's what you really want, I will make that happen for you. Sometimes I will have to force you and push you and encourage you, because there are some days you don't want to do art. Mm-hmm. And I will be there as that, you know, kind of like tough love father figure saying, like, no, come on, you told me you really want art. Do you want me to force you? How many times have I said to you, do you want me to make you do this? And you know, you look at me and you go like, can you please just make me do this? Like, how many times have you done that? That we all do that. Like, how many times do you reach out to your mates, guys, and you say like, bro, can you just call me a pussy and make me do this? And then someone will say like, bro, you're being a pussy, do it. And you're like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Thank you. Like, yeah. So how do you decide that a girl is moldable into your standards? You hinted at it before. You basically, if she says she wants you to help her with something, or, you know, you think maybe you have a little nugget of advice and, you know, that might help her, you give it to her. If she then goes away and comes back a week later and goes, okay, so I did that thing that you suggested. What should I try next?
Yeah. I think that's that thing that you mentioned to me a couple of times before. It's that if you can kind of get that feeling when people seem to be soaking up like advice or...
Yes, I can tell instantly people on my website or people on my forums or clients, coaching clients, I can tell who's going to be successful. Literally, because they will ask me for advice, I will give it, and then they'll come back 1 or 2 days later and say like, okay, I did that, what should I do now? And it's like, all right, this motherfucker is just going to be serious. Like, the best example of this I have is a guy on the forums called Senga. you know, Senga, who changed his name to Lost Cause.
Yeah.
He came on and he was whinging. And I shouldn't say whinging. He came on and he had a problem. He said, like, I'm a virgin. I've never had sex. Like, I don't know how to fix this. What should I do? And a bunch of people gave him some advice, which, you know, he started at it and, like, he was making progress. And then I basically said, mate, if you're that serious about losing your virginity, just shut the fuck up. Go pay a prostitute right now. Because he was complaining a lot. He was, like, really deeply unhappy. It was, like, eating away at his self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So I said, go pay a fucking prostitute right now and then come back here and say, I am the man who just got laid. And then, like, 3 days later, he posts on the forums, I am the man who just got laid. I did what Andy said. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. I didn't think that would actually work. Like, nobody ever listens when you say something like that. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, every single time he asked for advice, I'd tell him, I'd say, like, go, you know, practice photography and get decent pictures. And then he'd come back like a month later and be like, okay, so I took these amazing pictures when I was like skiing and I learned how to Photoshop and I fixed them up and I'm learning how to be a better photographer and I've learned how to use, like, you know, camera flashes and lighting and all sorts of create. Like, he, this motherfucker, you would just tell him to do something and he'd just like go do it. Mm. And in his like second year or I think it was like early on in the first year, maybe the second year, he went on like a crazy amount of dates. He went on like fucking like 50 dates or some shit. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. This was a guy that like, he just did some crazy shit. Cause whatever you told him to do, he'd just be like, yep, thank you for the information. I'm going to go do it. So it's like, that is the guy. You're kind of looking for that quality in a girl if you're looking to mentor. And that's exactly why I started mentoring you, because most people I give advice to, they like, maybe they'll do it, but maybe they dip their toe in the water. It takes them a while to go all in. But you specifically said, like, can you help me lose weight? And so I said, like, go download MyFitnessPal, the app on your phone, and, you know, figure out how many calories to eat. And then you'd message me, or like, the next time I saw you, like, 2 days later, you were like, okay, so I've, like, downloaded MyFitnessPal, and, like, I've done this, and I've done that. And I was like, okay, this bitch is, like, serious. And then from that point, like, everything I've ever told you, you just, like, immediately go out and try it and go, like, yeah, of course I'll do that. Like, I'm not going to sit there and, like, ask for advice and then not take it. So I figured out really early on, like within like 2 months of our relationship, I was like, oh shit, I think I like this girl. Like, I think she has some of those qualities that I'm looking for, like the kind of qualities that I'd look for in a, like a mate, like a, when I say mate, I mean like a friend, like a male friend.
I think there also is that element of like, you can almost encourage the positive to a certain extent, obviously, if somebody's completely like, you can't completely change, I think, somebody without a lot of force and maybe, like, at that point, yeah, it's
and why would that be worth it for you? You'd have to be a very controlling person to enjoy that. And, okay, so to be fair, maybe some people listening to this are very controlling and they would like that.
But I think
I would suggest probably, how can I say this in a nice way? I would rather, and it's your life, you can do what you want, I would rather you not read my website if you're a controlling person. It would mean a lot to me if you stopped reading my website. I don't want to be putting out information that, and I know that's like a stupid thing to say, because like, if they're a controlling person, they're just going to keep reading my website. I would feel more comfortable if people who had a more like empathetic, less controlling mindset would read and apply the stuff that I say.
Yeah, but I think, like you said, it would be way more energy to convince somebody who doesn't want to do something to do what you want. Why not just find somebody that like wants the same things as you do? But I think, to some extent, you've definitely encouraged the behaviors that you wanted to see in me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, but that's more like a lead by example thing.
Yeah. And I guess to a certain extent, like, you can kind of, I guess, not force the characteristics you want to see, but more so, yeah, just encourage them and...
Yeah.
Like, it's like literally like a classical conditioning thing, like praise the behaviors that you...
Yeah, which is what I do.
Yeah. And then maybe for the things that, you know, I'm not... I can't even give a good example.
Just be careful wobbling the table.
I can't give a very good example because I'm tired. But like for things that you mightn't be so thrilled about, I think even just putting out like a less excited reaction can kind of...
Yeah, and that's not necessarily something I'm intending. That would just naturally happen in a relationship.
Yeah.
So, I guess what you're talking about is rather than controlling and, like, a girl does something you don't like, rather than saying, like, stop doing that, which is not something that I ever do. It's like, I will use it as a teaching. I guess we should have said this. Everything that I do to help you grow as a person, which is my goal, it's not to control you. It's, like, to make you a better person, to make you happier. That's my goal. everything I do, I try and see it as a teaching moment. Mm. And I guess that's that like mentoring father figure kind of thing. That's very easy for me. I've always been that kind of person with everyone. Like even when I was 19, I was fucking like having like teaching moments and father figure kind of relationships with people like older than me. So I guess that does answer your question. Yes, you can mentor someone older than you, because my first job, I was like 19 and I was a manager in a supermarket, and like I had to mentor this guy who was like in his 30s, and like, yeah, so it's definitely possible. Yes, everything is a teaching moment. So if you do something that I think is not a behavior that's going to make you happy, or I'm trying to think of an example, like, I don't know, like, it's hard to come up with an example on the spot, isn't it? Let's just say like,
I actually can't think.
I know, I can't think of any either. Jesus Christ. Okay, let's just say something like, you have strong carb cravings. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're currently on keto, you're eating just pretty much meat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you are having, what sweet things were you eating before?
On like keto sweet things, yeah. Or sweet things?
Those cakes, perfect example. So those cakes, you were eating these like little cakes that didn't, they were like pretty much carb free or very low carb, mm-hmm. relatively low carb.
Mm-hmm.
And you could fit them in a keto diet, mm-hmm. but the issue with you is every time you'd eat them, you'd then get crazy cravings for sugar. And I do too. I don't eat these fucking cakes anymore because they're just like so sweet.
Delicious.
They're fucking amazing. And so rather than me saying like, stop eating the cakes because you're going to binge eat and that will like screw up your weight loss goals and all that kind of stuff, I would use it as a teaching moment. So I'd say like, okay, so like when you eat these cakes, how does it make you feel? And you'd be like, well, obviously it makes me craving carbs. And so then I will ask the question of, do you think that it's helping you get towards your goal, or do you think it's hindering? And you like think for a minute and you're like, yeah, if I'm honest, like it's definitely hindering. And so then I say like, okay, so what do you want to do about it? And then you on your own decide like, okay, well, I'm going to, maybe I'll cut them down to just once a week or something. I'll have them once every 2 weeks and then maybe I'll have them less. So I never ever tell you what to do. And most of the time I try and get you to get to the answer on your own. You know what I mean? Cause I would rather you. This comes from like the Jocko Willink podcast. Shout out to fucking Jocko. I should leave like a link. I will leave a link in the show notes below. So the Jocko Willink podcast, in one episode, he talked about you want people, because he's a leader and he gives like leader seminars. And one thing he says is you want people to come to the decision that you want them to come to on their own. And you want to give them like little seeds, little like nuggets of wisdom. And then they take that and then come to the answer completely on their own. And by doing that, you're basically giving them, I guess like the validation. You're saying to them, you're showing them that they're smart enough to figure out these answers on their own and they don't need you to tell them what to do. And I've done that from like the very beginning of our relationship. I've tried my hardest to like get you to come to these answers. And that's something you've gotten, like you're already pretty good at it when I met you. You're already very intelligent and self-aware, but like you've definitely practiced that and gotten a hell of a lot better. And you kind of a lot of the time know what the right answer is. It's not like you're completely in the dark and I have to like give you some wisdom that you never would have thought about. 99% of the time, it's just, I'm almost like holding up a mirror to you and I'm saying, no, take a deep breath and have a think about like what you're doing right now or how you're thinking or, you know, your actions. Do you think they're helping you or like would something else work better? Would you live a happier life if you tried something else?
And I think that actually really helps on that point, actually then get the person being mentored to, I guess, take on the advice that you're very subtly giving, because if
I'm not telling you what to do.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. If I'm kind of coming to my own conclusions, I'm going to be far more likely to actually follow through with them because it's something that I ultimately decided that I wanted to. I think like you said, and you mentioned that Jocko kind of advocates that, I think a sign of a good mentor is kind of
they do as little mentoring as possible.
Yeah, not telling people what to do, kind of explain or even talking through what might be a good decision, coming to that decision together, maybe you helping guide that decision, like facilitating it, and then essentially helping them that way rather than being like, you should do this. Because I guess that, like you said, that's when it kind of steers towards that more controlling aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're mentoring or like teaching someone, you're not so much like giving them the answer. I keep using the word teaching, and that's why I use the word mentor or teaching. You really are like teaching them thought processes. I'm teaching you how to come to answers on your own. I'm teaching you how to think more critically, how to think more philosophically, how to be more ethical, how to be more aware of your own thought processes, how to be aware of your mental health and your emotions. And, you know, I'm teaching you to be more self-aware. I'm not telling you what to do, and I'm not even teaching you what the answer is. I'm teaching you how to figure out answers on your own.
Yeah, it almost seems as if it's more around behaviors rather than tangible actions. I mean, and obviously you are giving me advice around like literal steps on like things to do when I ask for them. But for the most part, it is more a behavioral thing that you're kind of teaching and encouraging.
And I very much teach you that like it's perfectly cool to make a million mistakes. Like you're going to fuck up a million times. Like how many times do I say to you, just go try that and see if that works. And if it fails, it's fine. You know, then you can just try something else. Like rather than me saying like, hey, this is the correct answer. Like, and that's apparent on my website too. I have literally an article called like, this is all just a big experiment. And I, even in the articles where I'm telling you the advice, like in the Tinder guide and stuff, I make it really fucking clear. This is what's helped for me. You don't have to do this, but this is what worked for me. Just give it a go. See if it works for you. So, yeah, you're teaching people how to think for themselves. I think there's a very, these are really good questions. I'm glad that you asked these questions, Mr. Big D, because these are perfect questions. We need to make a distinction between me telling people what to do. Like, that's not what mentoring is. That's not what a good leader does. That's like, this applies to business too, by the way. Like, these skills are absolutely critical if you want to get a promotion or be a good leader or be a good manager. Like, all of this stuff applies. Like, you essentially have that like father figure kind of philosophy. Like, everything is a teaching moment. Anytime someone fucks up, awesome. I can show them like what went wrong and get them to think like, can you think of anything that would have been better? Jocko Willink on his podcast, he has a great video called Good. And he talks about when something doesn't go right or when you make a mistake or you fail, like good. Now you can learn from that. Now you can try something else. Now you know what didn't work. Like everything is a learning experience, a teaching moment, so to speak. So go from that philosophy rather than I will make a girl go to the gym and lose weight or, you know, I will make her start her art business and get rich. Like, no, it's more like you say to her, what would, because we should backtrack. The reason that you, for instance, wanted to lose weight, the reason that you started your own art business, the reason that we've done any of the things that you've succeeded at is because I specifically said to you, write down a list of things that would make you happy. What are your goals? Even the goals that you don't think are ever possible. And I also got you to do this great exercise that I love that Jordan Peterson has a similar exercise, but I figured this out years before I ever even knew who he was. You sit down and you work out, you write down what your perfect day would look like, all the stuff that you would do. So, you know, you might say like, I would get up at 8 a.m. I would have eggs and bacon for breakfast. I would go and sit on the beach, or I would go out the front of my mansion and drive my freaking Lamborghini for, a, you know, around the block. And at 11 a.m., I would go and hang out with this person. And 1 p.m., maybe I work on my website for 2 hours. Like, you write down every single detail, like to the minute, pretty much, of what you want your perfect day to look like. And even if some of those things seem utterly impossible and you're like, no way in hell can I ever have a Lamborghini, just write it down anyway. And then from there, you can start planning out. You can break it down into smaller steps and say like, okay, well, if I wanted a mansion, we'll start with that. If I wanted a mansion, no. You would start even, you'd go like, if I want to get up at 8 a.m., how do I do that? I will set an alarm. Well, I sleep through my alarm. Okay, I'll buy a better alarm clock. Like, so you make that bit perfect. You make that happen. Then you go like, okay, and then I'd have eggs and bacon. Okay, make sure I always have eggs and bacon in the house. Cool. I want a mansion. Okay, what do I need to do to get there? How much does a mansion cost? I'm going to Google that. All right, it costs this much. Where would I buy a mansion? It costs this much. Like you plan it all out. You start the steps. You go, like, okay, it'll probably take me like 5 years to earn enough to buy a mansion. That's cool. How can I make money? I will start like researching marketing. I will learn ways to make passive income if that's what you want. Like, you start the process. So that's what I did with you. I literally said like, plan out, write down your perfect day. And then from there, I said like, do you want me to force you? Like, do you want me to push you to do these things? Do you want me to like make this happen for you? Because if you're gonna be in my life, like I will push you. Like, I will expect you to, you know, keep up with me because I will be going for my goals. And, you know, if you're with me, you have to understand that that will mean like, I will push you. And like, and you said like, yeah, that's what I want. That's really what I want. Like you clung on really tight to me and you said like, please, can you please help me? Cause you're a very competitive person. You are a ridiculously competitive person in a good way. And so you said like, can you please help me do these things?
I think what you're saying it to, in terms of like writing that down and like seeing what the other person wants is also, I guess, probably a good way in terms of screening, circling back to how do you know if somebody, again, I don't particularly like that word either, but like to see whether somebody's moldable. I think, for example, if you got to do, like got them to do a similar exercise to that, or even just ask like somebody what they wanted, if what they wanted is not at all in line with anything you want in a partner or respect or like if they say something that's like the opposite of you, it's something you have no interest in, it's something you might even kind of, I mean, each their own, but like not really want to see another human being, that's probably not someone you want to force into.
Yeah, because you're just going to make yourself miserable.
And probably and them too.
Fucking her miserable too. Yeah, and you're going to have... I've made this point a million times. Why would you spend time with someone that you don't respect? So, if a girl has behaviors that you absolutely don't like and she doesn't seem to want to change them, why the hell would you try? You are essentially telling yourself, I spend time with people that I don't respect. By saying that, you are essentially saying, I don't respect myself. I don't respect my own time or my own energy or my own, you know, efforts. If I'm willing to put them into people that won't change or that I have to like really control and force to change. Whereas you could just instead go out there and find a girl who's like more in line with what you're looking for. She's like that unpolished diamond or she has certain traits and that you really... Because to be clear, like you weren't perfect when we met. Like we were just like friends with benefits and I was going to keep it that way. And like I said to you a million times, we've had this conversation a million times. I was like ready to drop you. I was like literally one conversation away from being like, yeah, I'm getting a bit bored. Like goodbye. Like it was nice meeting you. And it was only when you had that conversation with me when you were like, by the way, I have these goals and I really want to work on them. And I was like, I didn't know this side of you existed. And then from there, when you actually started working on them, I was like, okay, I'll keep seeing you for a while. I'll see what happens. Like, you know, you have potential. I haven't met many girls that have like this much potential, maybe like 10 ever in my life that like really cared this much about goals and stuff. And yeah. So next question he says is, how much can you expect for her to be able to change? As in, for example, could you transform a girl that has never worked out per se into a gym bunny? I think that's an easy answer. Yeah. But only if she wants to.
That's literally exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, if they want, absolutely. If, you know, it's a girl that's never set foot in the gym, maybe she's, like, just not a particularly athletic person, but she's, like, I don't know, maybe her Instagram feed is full of, like, fitness models, and she's like, oh, my God, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, 100% that person, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, or even someone who's, like, kind of on the fence and is like, yeah, I wouldn't mind going to the gym. Like, you can definitely help that person. Or even a girl who's, like... I've never really thought about the gym. And then she dates you for like, you know, a month or two and she sees that you're into fitness. And then at that point, she's like, oh, well, he's like kind of into fitness. Maybe I'll go along too. There's a blog, a guy called The Red Quest. He wrote a good article about like, what did he call it? It wasn't like mentoring. It was something like that. It was essentially that you like, you show women modeling. That's it. About modeling the behavior that you want to see from women. I will leave a link down in the show notes to that. And in that article, he basically says, a lot of the time you will find that just by virtue of you doing something, especially self-improvement related, girls that see you, you know, like a couple of times, they'll be like, oh, this guy's always going to the gym. And all you then have to do is be like, do you want to come along with me? Or have you ever been to the gym? Or do you want me to teach you how to deadlift? And you'll find a lot of girls who'll be like, yeah, like that would be fun. I didn't ever think you'd ask. I'm glad because they won't offer. Like that would seem like an imposition, right? Why would a girl be like, can I come along? She'll think like, no, I just get in the way and I don't know what I'm doing and I'm nervous and I'm scared. Like, no. So it will be up to you to kind of, if you want that, it really will be up to you to make that happen with girls to just, you know, like I said, like gentle little, like I can help. Do you want to come along to the gym? Do you want some fitness advice? And the girls that say, yes, awesome. The ones that are like, no, fuck no, I'm never going to the gym. There you go. That's your answer. That's probably not someone that you're going to change her mind. Now, that may change. Like, she might just be having a bad day or something, but it's up to you. All of this is up to you, how much effort you want to put in. And I would never tell you that you have to mentor girls. That's entirely up to you.
Yeah. I think on that note, like, your excitement about something speaks for a lot.
Yeah.
Because naturally, if somebody's really excited and enthusiastic about something, another person is probably going to mirror that. That's essentially, I'm guessing, like, understanding the concept of modeling.
Yeah.
Is that you showing excitement, enthusiasm towards something, naturally the other person's going to want to pick up that behavior.
Yeah. I like going to the gym. It's cool as hell. Like, and you're excited every time you go. And then you say, do you want to come along? And she's like, well, yeah, because you always seem happy to go to the gym. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. The last question he asks is, did you ever get friction with girls? As in them saying something along the lines of, you should just love me for who I am right now and not have all these standards. No. Because I would never ever have that person in my life, because I'm very, like, focused on self-improvement. Like, I always have been. I've always had a deep respect for people who've, like, improved themselves, for underdog stories, for that kind of, for greatness in general. I would never ever have anyone in my life, friend or girlfriend or work colleague or boss or anyone at all, who said, you should just like me for who I am right now. Like, if someone literally said, I don't want to improve, that person is dead to me. Like, quite literally dead to me. They don't exist. I'm going to write them out of my mind. They're not a human being. Like, I literally don't want to ever think of them for even 1 millisecond again for the rest of my life. I don't want them to exist in my world.
I think it's also the nature in which you present the things that you would like to see in a person. It's not like you've come, like, as soon as you see a person for maybe a couple of times and you're thinking about it, developing something more than, like, a friends with benefits situation. It's not like you pull out a list and you're like, you need to meet, like, this, this, and this, and this in terms of my criteria. If not, like, you need to improve now or leave. It's not like that overt, like you mentioned before. It's like it's a screening thing in which you kind of start working towards building characteristics that you want to see more.
It's not like at one point I'm like, by the way, you're fat, you need to lose weight. Because then, yes, people are going to have an aversion to that. They're going to be very upset by that. And they're going to be like, well, what's wrong with me? Do you not like me right now?
Yeah, it's not an abrasive thing. It's just like,
yeah.
I mean,
it's not like I'm, straight away giving them a checklist and saying, like, here's everything you need to fix. Let's go. Hurry up.
Yeah.
Because, yes, that will get you a negative reaction.
I think, like you've said to me throughout our relationship, is that we're kind of working on our goals together. We're both building something. We're both working towards something. I think the framing of that is, I think very few people would want to shut that down, because it's this positive, exciting thing. You're not going to be like, oh, I don't want that. It's because obviously if you're like, you have all of these deficits, you need to fix them now for me.
You're going to get a negative reaction if you're literally just saying to a girl, here's all your flaws, can you fix them for me? Hurry up. Like, yes, that's not going to work well. And again, remember that everything that I help anyone with, not just girls, but, you know, friends and coaching clients and people on my website and people who email me and forums and all that kind of shit, I ask them specifically, what are your goals? Like, that is the first question that I ask any coaching client that I have. I say, what do you want? Like, why are you seeing me? What do you want to get out of this session? What are you working towards? What do you ultimately want from life? What would make you happy? What is your dream life? And I will then help you get that. So the same thing with girls. Like, I literally say to them, what do you want? And then they say, okay, these are the goals I want. And then I say, cool, I'll help you with those. So it would never, ever, ever come up that they'd say, like, you should love me for who I am. It's like, they've literally told me that they want to work on these things. I've specifically said, what do you want? And they've said, can you help me, you know, run my own business? Can you help me do X, Y, Z? And I've gone like, yeah, sure, I can give you advice on that. It's like, would any of my coaching clients say, like, bro, you should just like me for who I am right now? It's like, no, because, like, they've specifically said, can you please help me with this? It's the same thing with girls. Mm-hmm. So we should make that really clear. Like, these are fucking good questions, dude. Like, we should make it really clear that none of what I do has ever been controlling and will never be controlling, because that's just too much effort and it goes against my core principles. I don't like telling other people what to do or forcing anyone. It's just like, it's also a lot of effort, like, for no reward. Like, why would I ever do that when I could just ask people what they want and then give that to them And then there's a lottery reward because I get to share in their underdog story and watch them grow. I've like, how many times have you and I had victories? And I always have this big smile on my face when you come and, you know, like at the start of this podcast, you didn't really talk about it much because you're shy about talking your own stuff. But like you got your first like really big client today. Like how much money after all the stuff is paid, like after all expenses and stuff, how much money are you getting from this one client, this one job?
It ends up being like, $200 US, and obviously that's...
Yeah, $200 fucking US, and you only set this thing up like what, like 2 months ago?
Yeah, something like that.
So yeah, how many people do you think start a business, start like an art website, like a Fiverr account, and make $200 within 2 months? Like in, on one job, $200 on one job.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking awesome. But the point that I'm making is like, I got super happy about that. Like I was probably, I was way more happy than you were, right? Like I'm always over the top happy. Whenever you achieve anything, whenever any of my friends, you know, how many times do I come to you and I'm like, oh my God, like, look what my friend did. My friend did this, like, you know, random people on my forums, shout outs to Gravy Train. I'm always bringing him up. Like every time he does something, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Like that's fucking, like I get genuinely as excited, although he gets excited about everything. So he's probably just as excited as I am. But like, generally speaking, I'm the one that's more excited than whoever's telling me the news almost always. And on that note, sidetrack. All of your friends should be like that with you too. I think it's Jordan Peterson who said, a good friend is someone who will get excited by your good news and sad about your bad news. Mm. And that's probably a really good metric. You should require that from all of your friends. If you have any friends who like don't give a fuck or just aren't that excited when you tell them good news, or they're not that heartbroken for you when you tell them bad news, like ditch them immediately. That's not a friend. But that's a side note. Anything else you want to say? We're like pretty close to the end. You got to go to bed. It's past your bedtime, young lady, because you got to get up at like fucking 6 o'clock or some shit.
To work.
Filthy. Yeah. Disgusting. I'm going to get up at 7. Like a big boy. I'm sleep in. Nothing else?
No, just screen for people that have the characteristics that you want.
And yep, like the unpolished diamond.
And don't. You know, don't try and control people, and that
because it's too much effort, and it will result in heartbreak for both of you.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised at how much you can just, I guess,
like gently encourage.
Yeah,
and everything's encourage a teaching moment. Everything really is a learning moment, like a learning experience. And if you just have that mindset of like, I will help girls. I will ask girls, or you should be doing this. I shouldn't say should. You can do this with your friends and everyone you work with, pretty much everyone that you come into contact with. Just say like, what do you want? Like I say that to everyone. I say that to random fucking people. Like, what do you want? What are you actually looking for? What are your goals? Like, what would make you happy? What do you want from life? Like, what's your meaning of life? What do you want at the end when you get to the end of your life? You know, ask that question of girls and then just like help them make it happen.
Yeah. And I think if you find the right person, they'll, and if you're somebody that wants to mentor someone, they're going to lap it up.
Yeah, for sure. And let's be clear, we should have said this earlier, but we'll throw this in at the end. It's not a one-way street. It's not like I only offer you advice. Probably, let's say like 90% of the time I'm giving you advice, right? But like 10% of the time you will give me advice. So you give me like nuggets of wisdom and then I'll turn to you and I'll be like, okay, that's actually, I never would have thought of that. Like that actually does change. That's a game changer. Like, thank you for telling me that. So you will find that if you mentor girls or you know, model the behavior that you want from girls and, you know, encourage them to reach their goals, they will become your biggest cheerleaders. Like nobody encourages me as much as you do, like absolutely not even remotely close. And nobody supports me as much as you do. And nobody is like listening if I'm having some doubts about something the way that you are. Nobody will be like, will give me that like pat on the back and that push and like, you know, come on, you got this, like, you know, hurry up and do it. Like nobody comes close to that than you. So this mentorship has like, the knock-on effect of you will then get mentorship back. And depending on how long you date this person, if you guys date for a while, like you will get to a point where you're just like, okay, we're like two people on a mission. Like we're just on this like path and we're both like going towards our goals. Like I always make that joke to you that like we're going to the moon. Mm. We'll go to the moon together one day. Like, because remember I said to you like, what do you want? And I said, you can have anything in the whole world that you want. Hell, you can even have the moon. I'll get you the fucking moon if you want the moon. And you were like, yeah, I want the moon. I was like, all right, we're going to get you the moon. It might just take a while. I'll get you the moon, don't worry. Mm. So yeah, you'll find that like the two of you, if you date for a while, will just be this like I'm not going to say unstoppable, like snowball, unstoppable force of like momentum, because you're both like pushing each other constantly, which is the whole reason that like my website exists and my forums exist, so that a bunch of people who are working on shit can get around each other and like support each other. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by people who are also working on their self-improvement. Mm-hmm. If you mentor your friends and, you know, especially your girlfriend or a girl that you're dating, she will give you that back. Like she'll give you that energy back. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it might take a while. Like I had to give you like 50 pep talks before you even felt comfortable giving me any advice whatsoever, right? Because obviously the age gap makes a big, you know, there's a power dynamic there, because I'm obviously older and more experienced than you. But, you know, after a certain amount of time, you got more comfortable with it and you were like, okay, I can give you support now too. Mm-hmm. I can help you. I can push you. I can, you know, encourage you. And yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.